Blog Talk Radio.
Today's show. I am super excited about today's segment. I have a magnificent guest on who is really going to be lighting the fire within us as entrepreneurs to understand the importance of customer service. Because as entrepreneurs, sometimes we think that we are not a big corporation, and that's not important to us. But our guest today is going to explain to us and share with us why it is as equally important. Before I bring her on, I want to remind you that the chat room is up and running, so join us there. And also, please be calling us, and the number to do that is 646-915-8166. You can join in the conversation, and just to give us some input, and if you're going to be listening online, you need to mute your phone so we don't get any feedback or disturbances. So without any further delay, I want to bring my honored guest on. This is Jenny Davis out of Denver. Good morning, Jenny.
Jeannie. Good morning. How are you?
Jeannie, I am wonderful. I want to thank you for getting up so early because I know what? It's 7 o'clock there. What time is it there in Denver?
It's 8 o'clock here in Denver.
8 o'clock. So you're up and alert and ready to deposit in us some of your wisdom, and I thank you for that. But before we get into your expertise around customer service, would you please introduce yourself to the listeners and give them a little bit about your humble beginning, and then we will fast forward into the work that you are now involved with.
Well, certainly. Well, I spent the last 15 years of my professional life in the corporate sector with a company here in Colorado called US West. It's a local phone company, and they had operations throughout a 14-state region. I had 14-state responsibility, and believe it or not, I did work in the small business subsidiary of the company for a little more than 6 years. So
wonderful.
When I left the organization 15 years ago, I knew exactly what I wanted to do as a small business and as an entrepreneur, and I was very well connected in the business community to those who were small businesses and entrepreneurs. There were a number of things that I needed to do.
Yes. But prior to, where were you born and raised? And let's talk about some of your humble beginnings, because a lot of times people need to know that although we are unique and authentic, we are oftentimes not too different from other people, how we were born and raised. We just decide to take action with the card, the hands we were dealt, if you may. So do you mind sharing a little bit about your humble beginnings?
Not at all. I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I had four brothers. I am the only girl of the group, so there were five children. My mom and dad married very young. My mom was a teenager. My dad was a young man, and they married very young. I'm proud to say that they celebrated 58 years of marriage.
So oh, congratulations. Yes.
Absolutely. Yes, that worked for them. In the early years, I went to a business school. Mm-hmm. I got a job with an oil company there as a messenger of all things. I delivered mail.
That's
to the
right.
people in this company for 38 floors in the building. I've got to tell you, though, Dr. Daphne, it was a great job, and it was a great opportunity for me to get to know practically everybody in that organization.
Yeah, I know that you have said that to me. I now understand why customer service is so dear to you. And has become a part of who you are. You live, eat, sleep, drink, walk it. Because
I do make every effort to walk my talk, that's for sure. Absolutely, I make every effort to walk my talk. There's no sense in putting yourself out there if you're not going to be authentic and if you're not going to be real with your audience and or the people that you serve. So I do believe that we need to take a good long look at not just requesting opportunities from our customers and clients and those around us and in our inner circles. We need to be bringing something to the event, so to speak. That's what I believe. So I'm happy to share with you also, though, that some 34 years ago, I transferred to Denver in my first marriage. My first husband transferred to Denver with the company that we were working for. We both worked for the same organization, and I came along for the ride, and I've been here ever since. Since then, though, we, of course, have divorced. I've remarried, been married 19 years to a wonderful young man by the name of Chuck Davis. And he and I have just sailed through life in a very blissful and exciting kind of way. So it's been a lot of fun, Dr. Daphne. Indeed, I've enjoyed the ride. Enjoyed the ride indeed. I'm just wondering, when we talked initially, one of the concerns that you had for your listeners was the image that they're projecting regarding telephone customer service and helping your listeners to understand the value of customer service, whether they are entrepreneurial and a one-man show in their basement office, or whether they have only two or three or four or five employees, you know. So that's where I am today, and I'm excited about sharing some information with them as well.
Thank you so much, because I'm so thankful that you took the time to kind of lay the ground rules, because people need to know these things about how we became experts, and nothing beats a typical experience when you are involved. Like people say on the streets, you get down and dirty. So you can tell people what it is that they need to be doing in that area. And you can say, listen, I not only learn about it, I experience. It is my experience. I know that based on my work, when I share my stories with my clients, it brings them much closer into what I am doing and what I'm ready to share with them. So you worked at the local company for a number of years. However, one day something happened and you were no longer there.
One day a light bulb went off and, I was no longer there. They were offering a downsizing in personnel, and I held my hand up and said, I'd like to be able to take advantage of this opportunity to leave. And at first was told, no, I wasn't going to leave, and I waited another 30 days or so, and then I raised my hand again, and I was able to take an early buyout that time. And haven't looked back since. It was a risky time for me. I'm not necessarily a risk taker. I think most entrepreneurs are. They're either risk takers, Dr. Daphne, or they are prayerful. Mm. And I was a combination of both. I had the loving support of a husband behind me, which helped me to walk towards the end of the diving board. And I've got to tell you, though, as an individual, I don't believe I would have made that leap on my own, not having support. And that's one thing that entrepreneurs and small business people really do need, is support of family and friends and acquaintances. You can't just get out there by yourself and think that you're all that and a bag of chips and it's going to be magical and it's going to work. It's hard.
That's right. And Jeannie, entrepreneurs will never be able to get the support of all those category of people you just mentioned. For the simple reason is that they love us so much and care about us, and they don't want to see us hurt. But where they can get that support is through mentors and coaches. So they really don't need to do it by themselves. They can get somebody to support them, to help them to build themselves to a level where they can now get the support of their family, because these professionals kind of help them through the rough waters and bring them to a stage where family can say, well, it looks like Daphne is really doing this thing now. And they can applaud you and support you because they realize it is not as risky as when you are beginning. Because our families, I remember a couple weeks ago I had a lady on who is so passionate about her art and everything. And her parents told her, no, this feeling would go away. And it was such a joy for me to hear her father call the show to say that she proved him wrong.
That's great.
And sometimes we just have to find the people who can help us there, and until we can get the support of our relatives and close friends.
Well, I think too, though, Dr. Daphne, there are other resources out there in our community that are willing and able to help a small business get up and running. For example, the Small Business Development Centers.
Yes.
They're located throughout the country.
Oh, yeah, and four.
and score, absolutely, because there are certain things that small businesses and entrepreneurs ought to do in order to assure their success. And one of them is creating a business plan. You know, you got to have a business plan. You got to have a sales and or a marketing strategy. And all of those things are paramount to you getting a real solid start. And those two organizations, just as one example, can help you to do those things.
I want you to hold a minute. We have a caller, and I want to see whether the person wants to say something. I know sometimes people forget that they need to raise their hands. Well, good morning. I don't have numbers. I have letters, and the three first letters are WAN on the phone, so I don't know where you're calling from. Do you care to say something? Would you announce who you are, where you're calling from, and what your statement or question is, please?
Hi, good morning. My name is Richard from Columbus, Ohio. And
good morning, Richard.
And for right now, I'm just listening, but my family isn't the food industry, so I don't know if maybe you have some advice for that, or I think this is specifically for customer service.
Oh yeah, but if you are in the food industry, who are you serving your food to? You have some customers, right?
Yes.
Okay,
I
think you are part of the audience. So you can listen in, grab your pad and pens and paper writing utensils or equipment. And when you have a question, if you want to ask a question, if you just raise your hand, I will know. But thank you for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome.
You know, I'd be curious, Dr. Daphne, to know what part of the food industry Richard is participating in.
Okay, so let me get it. It's a big industry.
The food industry is a part of the hospitality industry as well, yes.
Oh, let me bring it back on. Richard, did you hear Mrs. Davis's remark?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
well,
what's your answer?
Specifically, we own a taco truck, and then the other one is a carry out only type of place that's inside a convenience store.
So you have prepared foods.
Yes.
I leave him on air, Jen, in case you have another question for him.
Oh, good. Well, I do have another question for you, Richard, and thank you very much for calling in. You know, let me make a comment first. One of the things that I tell audiences as I travel throughout the country is that you don't need to be a bus driver to know how you want to be treated when you're riding a bus. And you don't need to be a salesperson to know how you want to be treated when you're buying anything, whether it's fast foods or not. You certainly don't need to be a customer service expert to know how you want to be treated when you are interacting with your public and or your customers. So whether it's the ownership of your taco truck or whether it's the carryout spot that you have within that local business in the community, what you are looking for is repeat business. And what you're hoping to do is to create some sense of customer loyalty. Wouldn't that be correct with your client base? Hopefully the response to that has been yes, I'm hoping. So that even if you don't have an awful lot of telephone interaction with your clients, Richard, the importance of your owning every customer interaction is something that they find value in, and it's something that it causes them to create more loyalty to your brand and to your product. Certainly you've got a quality product, a good product. I'm certainly hopeful that that's the truth, and I wouldn't have any reason to doubt that. So what you're wanting to do in your industry is no different than any of the rest of us, which is to promote our brand, provide a quality product and or service initiate some rapport, build relationships, and hopefully do things that are going to foster customer loyalty.
Yes, I agree with that. Definitely, if we did not have repeat customers, we would go out of business very quickly.
Absolutely. So it's not just telephone communication that's going to help you to do that. How do you distinguish yourself from other vendors in your area?
Well, you know, right now we're fortunate, and actually we've had the business for quite a few years, and as far as the taco truck is concerned, we don't really have any competitors. You know, I mean, that's unusual, because as soon as someone sees that you're successful, you know, they want to jump on that bandwagon. But in our case, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's because we provide authentic recipes that are not not your average Joe knows how to replicate. And so, in that sense, I mean, because we don't have really much competition, it's easy to stand out. But on the other hand, that's with the taco truck. But as far as the carry out only plays, we do struggle with that one. That's harder because, you know, we have all kinds of competition when it comes to that. So,
do you differentiate yourself there?
To be honest, I mean, it's we've tried. We've tried flyers. We've tried we spent like $400 worth of signs and put them all around on the outside. But I mean, so far nothing really seems to be working. But we can't really close down that location because it's where we do all of our prep. So, you know, that's where all our equipment is. And so really it doesn't make sense to close down, but it just barely breaks even. But in a way, we would have to rent out a licensed kitchen anyway to operate.
Right.
To operate the food truck. So, because we can't. There's not enough space and enough equipment, the food truck, to prep everything that we have. So, yeah. I don't know. Maybe, who knows, maybe you might have some pointers on how to stand out as far as the carryout location.
You know, one of the things that I have found as a customer, as a consumer myself, Richard, is that it's not so often the big, huge, humongous strides or steps that a company takes to impress its customer base. It very often is the smallest of things. It's the smile in the morning to the person who comes in, or it's the willingness to be conversational with the person who's dashing in at lunchtime and running late and so forth. It's the small little intricacies of establishing that rapport. It's remembering people's names and calling them by name. It doesn't need to be a big, huge undertaking to get somebody's attention. It can be asking them point blank, doing customer surveys as they enter your facility. It can be handing them a brief flyer with a special if they come back and bring a friend. I mean, it can be a 2-for-1. It can be special offers. There are a number of things that people can do to really begin to establish that rapport. When I'm traveling, as I'm doing my workshops on telephone customer service and communication, one of the things that I always ask is, name the person or the business that you most enjoy working with. Why do you enjoy working with that person or that company? What characteristics do they demonstrate that really, really hit home for you? And, you know, I get things like they're helpful, they're good listeners, they're responsive, They're personable. They're conversational. They're ethical, sincere, willing to assist. They're knowledgeable. Their product is top-notch. I get all of those things. You can go on and on and on. So one of the suggestions I would have for you, Richard, is that you put yourself in that framework and think through what characteristics cause you to keep going back to your favorite business or person. What characteristics do they demonstrate? Once you get those on paper, what you've done is provided a framework for establishing and setting forth in writing your personal relationship values. Those are the things that are important to you. And those are the things that foster your loyalty to this company or this individual. If those things are so important to you then, Richard, and they are part of your personal relationship values, then you and the others who work with you in your carryout facility or on your truck ought to be able to convey those same values when interacting with others, whether it's face-to-face, whether it's on the telephone, whether they're in your takeout place for 30 seconds or 30 minutes, it doesn't matter. You need to own every customer interaction, and you need to share your relationship values, demonstrate those characteristics when you are interacting with any of your customers. Can you by any chance name?
Yes, that sounds like sound advice.
Well, thank you.
Oh,
thanks.
Said that sounds,
I appreciate it.
Very good advice, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think you'll be very surprised at what you see. And if it's not just you, Richard, if it's your son, your wife, your significant other, whoever is working with you in those other two parts of the business, ask them to do the very same thing. Who do you most enjoy working with? What business or person do you most enjoy working with, and why? Our listeners can go through that very same exercise. Once you write down the whys, which are characteristics of that relationship that you so much value, once you get those on paper, take a good hard look at them. They're there for a reason. There's a reason why you appreciate somebody being ethical. There's a reason why you appreciate someone being sincere or having integrity or being productive, being responsive. They return my calls on time. They get back to me on, you know, there are a number of characteristics that really, really hit home for various people. And I think if you and our listeners will do that and then make every effort to convey those characteristics in every customer interaction you have, I'm not sure that you'll go wrong. Because one of the things that you'll notice once you get them on paper, those characteristics, that is, one of the things that you'll notice is that when the question is asked, how often do the people or the businesses that you wrote about, how often do they demonstrate these characteristics? How often are they helpful and friendly and kind and responsive? The answer is always every time. They are like that with me all the time. That's what caused me to become a loyal customer or fan of theirs. So it's an opportunity for you to develop some sense of consistency.
Yes.
When interacting. Yes.
You know, I have got that from customers before. I love engaging in conversation, so you know, I do get that comment that people like the friendliness and you know, they're not just a number type of thing.
Good, that's great feedback, and so you need to feed off of that. You need to feed off of that.
Yes,
And
I also like your idea of handing out, you know, some kind of coupon for repeat business. If you come back with a friend, you know, you get a discount. So that's something I'll have to look into.
Yeah. You know, in my introduction, I said that I spent 6 years in the small business subsidiary of a major telecommunications company in the Rocky Mountain region. And while I was there, it was part of my responsibility was to get to know our small business customers. One of the things for certain that I took away with me when I left to start this business 15 years ago is how important it is to establish relationships on your own in industries that are related to what you do specifically, and how important it is on your own, Richard, to establish relationships in professional associations and or organizations that have to do with what you do in your business specifically. Have you done that? Do you belong to chambers of commerce? Do you belong to the local restaurant association? What kinds of professional affiliations do you have, and what kinds of business affiliations do you have?
No, none at this time, actually.
Mm-hmm. You might start sniffing around to see what's out there, because oftentimes networking with people who do what you do can hold an awful lot of value and an awful lot of resources for you in terms of growth and opportunity. For myself, I'm a professional speaker. I'm a trainer. I travel nationally. I'm on the road about 73% of my time, talking at conventions and conferences, and serving my corporate clients throughout the United States. I'm an award-winning author of a book called Beyond Hello, A Practical Guide for Excellent Telephone Communication and Quality Customer Service. And trust me when I tell you, Richard, I validate my credentials related to those three things, being a professional speaker, trainer, and award-winning author, with the professional associations and interactions and affiliations that I have. I'm a member of the Colorado Independent Publishers Association. That helps to validate my credibility with having been an award-winning author. I'm a member of the National Speakers Association. That helps to validate my credibility as a professional speaker throughout this United States, throughout the country. I'm a member of the International Customer Service Association, which helps to validate my credentials as a person and professional who's been training on that subject for more than 15 years now. You know, so take a look at some of the professional associations and other affiliations that might benefit your companies and both of your organizations, whether it's the takeout or not. The food industry, the hotel and hospitality industry, the food industry is a phenomenal place to be today, because none of us have stopped eating yet. with all that's going on, few of us have stopped eating yet.
Right, actually, and we have very affordable prices, so we actually have seen a rise in sales in our food truck, not in the carryout location, but it seems that people are going to the food truck because of the impression and reality that it is cheaper than a normal larger brick and mortar restaurant. So thank you for your advice.
Well, you are very welcome. Thank you for joining us.
I'll continue listening, and I'll raise my hand if I have a question.
Thank you both so much. Thank you both so much. Jenny, I want to go into your book.
Okay.
And while I was here waiting on technology to sort itself out, I was continuing to thumb through, because I have not read it completely, but there are certain parts that I'd gone through. And I remember, I don't remember whether when we spoke I share a bit of my story. I remember when I became a Mary Kay consultant, and then I became a director. One of the things Mary Kay Ash instilled in us is our attitude while we are on the phone. And as I thumb through your book, First Things First captured all those things that I learned way back in the early 80s there.
Good.
And I want you to deal with each. But before we go there, you want to set up your book a little. It has been up on side for up on this site where people can pick it up and all of that. But before we go to first things first, tell the listeners why you wrote Beyond Hello. And congratulations, because it was a first place winner.
Yes.
There in Denver. But let's talk about the topic of the book, why you wrote the book, and then let's just go and horn into first things first section of your book.
Okay. I wrote the book, Dr. Daphne, because of my concern as a consumer, because of my experiences as a consumer, and because of my experiences inside the corporate sector, where I had employees that were interacting with our customers and consumers. There seemed to have been a lack of an ability to effectively communicate, particularly over the telephone. You know, people talk about first impressions face-to-face. You still need to make a great first impression on the phone.
That's
and part
right.
of the reason, yeah, and part of the reason why I wrote the book was to help people to understand that we can all get better at what we do.
Oh, yes.
What we want to do is to present exactly the image we want each customer to have of us.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a consumer and you call a service provider, aren't you sometimes just amazed at what you hear on the other end of the phone?
Some
of the language, some of the attitude, some of the bad-mouthing the company or blaming the employee or talking bad about the peer or the they don't ever tell us anything. All of those things, I wanted to effectuate some behavioral change among service providers. That's what I wanted to do.
I like the scenario you use about that young man on the phone. And I said, you know, there are still some of those people answering the phones today. They are trying their best to be polite, yet they're still not getting nor giving the information that the caller needs. Because there is no way when I read that scenario that you could say he was impolite, you know.
Uh-huh.
He tried, but still, was he being effective in what he is doing? And I think this is what the book will allow its readers to do, is to see where you are right now and how you can kick it up quite a few notches.
Absolutely.
Yes, so continue, please.
Absolutely. So those are the various reasons why I wrote the book. I really wanted to help people get better at what they do. Mm-hmm. I really want them to see themselves through the eyes of the customer. It's one thing to say, oh, you got to walk a mile in your customer's shoes. You need to put the shoe on the other foot. Yada, yada, yada. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can say that. However, how do you actually help people to demonstrate that?
Exactly.
I think that today there's a dichotomy between when we're the customer and when we go to work the next day to become the service provider.
That's
when
right.
When we're the customer, we expect people to treat us with respect. We expect them to give us more than we wanted or, you know, give us better service. We expect them to be friendly and kind and patient and understanding and helpful and all of those things. When we go to work as a person the next day and we become the service provider, we have a tendency to often treat our customers the very same way. We don't like being treated.
Exactly. And we forget that those customers are the ones who are paying our bills. Because if
they
take their businesses elsewhere, we have no folks to answer. And I think
that's exactly what
each of us, as we pick the phone up, we need to say, well, this is somebody that is providing money to pay and give the best. And don't act as if we are granting them a favor for calling us. Because a lot of times you call places and you're thinking, my God, what did I do to call this number? I'm only looking for customer service. You know?
Yes, I understand. I really do. And I'll tell you something. Once they really start putting the shoe on the other foot, it's easier to see themselves in another place. You got to really listen to yourself through the ears of your customer.
Mm-hmm.
You have to feel that empathy through their thoughts and their emotions. And you really need to start painting positive images as you're interacting with mm-hmm. them, because one of the things that gets lost in the translation over the telephone is our ability to effectively communicate with someone we're unable to see. We're mm-hmm. visually challenged. We're visually challenged, and so is the customer. And because of that, we both start drawing these pictures of each other.
That's right.
And oftentimes, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, and I was saying this is the reason why First Things First stands out in my mind. And when I read that, and I'm saying, isn't that something? Here I am reading this book in 2010, and it is the simple things that Mary Kay Ash had taught me way back when. And
uh-huh.
she had even said, if you're having a problem keeping the smile on your face, put one of the mirrors that you use to do your facial, put it up right in front of you where you're making the call so you can keep glancing in there. Because you
That's
know
right.
when somebody's smiling at you on the phone, you can feel it. And,
yes,
and
you
people
can.
Say, no, you can. I said, well, why don't you try it? And you can know, because the response that you're getting back and the feedback is so cooperative. It is so relaxing. And if you have a sour face and a bad attitude, that's the kind of feedback you're getting back. So from an expert point of view, how do entrepreneurs incorporate what you are giving us? And I must tell you, Jenny, this is a workbook in the true sense. This is not something that they are going to read and put away. It is something that I encourage them to read and mark up and put extra plain paper in there to jot things down. Because this is a book that you work and rework and rework to get where you need to be. So thank you for putting it in this format, because you and I both know how challenging it is for adult learners. But the way that this book is simplified, no one should have difficulty in getting the points that you have laid out here for us.
Well, thank you for saying so. It is written like a tutorial. As a matter of fact, you will seldom find Beyond Hello, again, the name of the book. You won't find this book in very many libraries. Libraries don't like to carry it because people can write in the book. It is intended to be, as you referenced, Dr. Daphne, a workbook, a tutorial, so you can do the exercises that are in the book. The workshops that we do throughout the country are based on the content of this book. And I actually just sat in front of my computer for 4 months, and I typed my training program, which is called Telephone Imagery. I typed the training program at the computer as though the screen and the monitor was my audience. So
Wonderful.
It parallels our on-site workshops and seminars that we provide for companies throughout the country, and we've received wonderful, wonderful feedback on it. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I'm being challenged with now, I'm beginning to get some questions as to when I'm going to write another book.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, I don't know. There is nothing in this work that has changed. You mm-hmm. still need to do all the things that are in this book, whether it's monitoring your rate of speech, your inflection, your vocal tone, whether it's demonstrating good listening skills, handling complaint calls, and all of those tips, tricks, and techniques that are mentioned. You still need to do all of that. So my mm-hmm. question, why would I need to write another book?
Here is another thought on the subject of another book. This book could probably incorporate the stories of the people who have effectively utilized the principles in this book. So
that's
for
a
those
great idea.
People, for those people who are sitting around not utilizing book one, here are testimonies of people from book two. In book two,
I like
who are
that.
Saying, who are saying, this is what I did. Here is how I implement what she told me. And here is the result of what I've gotten.
Mm-hmm. So, I like that.
No,
mm-hmm.
I don't think it's never. It is building.
It
is building. So I'll send my invoice over for this check, okay?
Okay, Dr. Daphne.
Yeah, but I think you can approach it from that. Yes, it take you a little longer because you'll have to interview these people from all over. But with technology now, you can do that.
Yes,
that,
I could.
I think that's worth doing. Hey, people are asking for it. And then at the back of that, then you add something for those people who already implemented what's in book one.
Yes.
You know,
I like that suggestion. I will look into that more.
Okay. So can we now go into first things first and break that down step by step so people get a feel? Because we want them to go out and get this book after they listen to, whether they're listening on archived or whatever they're doing, we want them to pick it up. So first things first, you say, you know, take a deep breath.
Take a deep breath, yeah. And keep in mind that smile really is important.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people say, well, you're not going to come into my organization and tell people that they need to smile, are you? Well, no, I'm not going to tell people that they need to smile. What I challenge them to do is to ask the question behind the question. Can my smile be heard? Because one of the things that you said a little while ago, Dr. Daphne, is that when you're the customer, you can tell if the service provider, the person on the other end of the phone from you, is friendly and pleasant, if they've got a smile in their voice. You mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not forget that us using the practices that of when we are the customer can be the premise for how we want to project images to our current customers. And
That's right. It
doesn't matter whether you're a multi-level marketing company or not. It doesn't matter. You're absolutely right. Now, you said in Mary Kay, it was suggested that you put a mirror beside the phone or somewhere in your office where you could see it, and I suggest that as well. As a matter of fact, we have little mirrors that say, can your smile be heard?
That's right.
In the mirror as a friendly reminder to ask that question behind the question, because you don't want people calling you and hearing, Jeannie Davis, how can I help you?
That's right.
That's not warm and friendly and inviting and pleasant and welcoming. And you mentioned something else earlier, too. You said that we forget that the customers sign our paychecks, and yes, indeed, they do.
That's right.
I'll tell you, I'm always amazed at how fast we forget that.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
We forget that. So when we're talking about the basics, yes, it does start with looking, with putting that smile in your voice and having people to hear that smile. It starts with you creating a positive visual of your personal lobby, that place that is warm and friendly and inviting and welcoming. Not a place, by the way, that projects an image as though you are rushed and hurried because you got so much business.
Exactly.
Not a place.
You want to get rid of them. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You want to project an image that welcomes all of your callers, regardless of what kind of business you're in. Mm-hmm. So your personal lobby, creating a positive visual of that is important. Looking good to yourself is important.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many of us as entrepreneurs work from home. Does that mean that we need to sound as though we just got up out the bed and we're fixing our morning coffee when we're on the phone with our customers? Absolutely not. Does it mean that we need to sound as though we've got our nice, big, fat, fluffy slippers on and we're sitting in the recliner while we've got the headsets and interacting with our customers? Absolutely not. For me, it's been 15 years of working from home, and I will tell you, I get up in the morning, I shower, I dress like I normally would go to work. Now, I may not be in a suit as I would if I were going into a corporate job.
Mm-hmm.
However, I am dressed.
I'm ready
to perform my job. I understand how to build a rapport with my callers. I've got my mirror on my desk. I've got my headset adjusted appropriately, and I look good to myself.
That's right. you know, people say the same thing with me doing an internet radio show, because I did traditional radio show for 2.5 years where I physically traveled into a studio. And people see me doing the internet radio show, whether I'm doing it from my office or I am announcing out of home, and if they come there for any reason. And I said, why are you fully dressed? I said, because I'm on the radio. And they don't get it. And I said to them, I need to feel the part. And I said, as I sit here and I put my headset on and I log on, people from across the world, they are feeling this energy that I'm sending out to them. And I said, if I'm sloppy, that's what I'm going to be sending out. But if I say if I'm feeling energized and enthused, that's what they are getting to. So I'm just so excited that you are affirming that this morning, because entrepreneurs need to know, because it takes discipline to work from home.
Yes, it does.
Your spouses most time don't get it. Your children don't get it. Your pets don't get it. Because they figure you are at home, so you are accessible to them. So you have to set up a model that when they see that, they know, oh, mommy or my sister or my wife is doing business right now. And set up, I used to tell when I was a Mary Kay consultant, when I was a Mary Kay director, I told my consultants, have your children write notes and stick it on the door and you can attend to it. If you need to keep your door closed to do business, do just that. But you can't have people barging when you're on the phone, telling you what they want and what for lunch and all of that. It just should not happen.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, so we talk about taking a deep breath, because it depends on what just happened before we answer that phone, and we can still carry some of that tension over. So
you can.
It is a good thing to take a deep breath and clear yourself and clear the air, so you can kind of get in tune to the positive person that you need to be portraying on there. You mentioned about the smile, to put a smile in your voice. And
I mentioned the smile. And
yes.
I wanted to mention also, you said kind of start from the beginning. It's not just the smile, it's your attitude.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
When we are the customer, looking at things through the eyes of our customers, when you're the customer, and that this question is for your listeners. Do you, and you encounter a service provider who has a negative attitude, it's coming through in their voice, do you care why that person has a negative attitude? That's another question behind the question.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares why that service provider has a nasty attitude. What they care about is getting the service that they called for.
Exactly.
That's what they care about. They don't care whether you as an individual, Mr. or Ms. Service Provider, mm-hmm. missed your bus that morning. They don't care whether or not you chased your dog 3 blocks and you missed your conference call with mm-hmm. somebody this morning. Mm-hmm. They don't care whether you're functioning on a hangover. They don't care whether the customer before you, you've been fooling with them for 3 months and they finally said no and you were frustrated, so you took it out on the caller that's on the phone now. They don't care about any of that. They don't care about that. Each and every person that you interact with wants to be treated like your first call of the day.
That's right.
Not
that's
like
right.
your 50th. So I like to suggest to people that you really check your attitude. Check it at the door.
Mm-hmm.
Check it before you go into that space that you call your work environment. Leave the attitude outside, because it will not help you to get business, and it certainly will not help you to build
right.
a rapport and establish that credibility
right.
with your customer.
Right. How you also mentioned about using a well-modulated tone. How can one develop that? And I know that, well, this is it. This is what I want to maintain.
Well, you know, our vocal tone, our voices, first of all, are such magical gifts. If you can speak, then you have an opportunity to convey just about any emotion that you could possibly feel. So when you are talking with people on the phone, know the difference between empathy and sympathy. Empathy is a shared understanding of what that person is going through, or a shared understanding of what that client's need is.
Mm-hmm.
Sympathy is feeling sorry for. I feel sorry for you. I pity you. You know, understand that, because as you talk with them, your feelings will come through in your voice. You need to use inflection as you're talking to your customers. Sometimes we work in a repetitive environment, and we get used to saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
We sound dull, we sound boring, we sound canned and monotonous. We don't sound like we're interested at all in what the customer has to say, or why we called them, or why they called us. You know, and as small business people, that can often be a problem for us. I mean, that can be a concern.
That's right.
So when I suggest that you speak in a well-modulated voice, I'm suggesting that you put the smile in your voice.
I'm
suggesting that rather than speak in a flat, monotonous tone, that you inject some inflection so that you are sounding conversational. It's, for example, some of us use scripts, and if you use a script in your day-to-day work, you don't just read what's on the paper.
You read
what's on the paper with the thought that you are talking with someone that you really enjoy interacting with.
That will help you.
That will help you to put the inflection in your voice.
That's right.
An example I'm sorry, go ahead.
Please just hold. We have a caller. I want to see whether or not the caller has a question. Caller, good morning. Your last 4 digits are 2539. Would you state your name, where you're calling from, and your question, please?
Oh, hi, Dr. Daphne. It's Andrea.
Oh, good morning. You are my other guest. I don't know how long you have been listening. Do you have a question for Miss Jenny? Jenny, I want to introduce you to Andrea. Andrea, meet Jenny.
Hi,
how
Jenny.
You
we
how
actually talked. We talked a little while ago. How are you, Jenny?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. Yes, I did talk with you the other day. What a pleasant young lady you were.
Oh,
all right.
Thank you.
Okay, well, do you have a question?
Actually not right now. I'll just sit and listen. I'm very interested.
Great. Thank you very much. Yes, so continue, Jenny, please.
Okay, so let's talk about this attitude thing for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yes, you need to have a positive attitude, and yes, that needs to be conveyed through the sound of your voice, and yes, you need to speak in a well-modulated tone, which means that you're using inflection as you're communicating and not sounding dull and boring and monotonous. Mm-hmm. The other piece of that is, I believe that when we are communicating with our customers, there is certain language that we use, phrases and words, that really solicit a negative reaction or response. For example, you're the business owner, and you say to your customer, "I can't have that technician there until Thursday." What is the first thing that comes to your customer's mind when they process what you said? "I can't have that technician there until Thursday." I would ask that question of your listeners. What are they thinking as I say that? Are they thinking that perhaps they're not important enough? Are they thinking that, well, you know, I guess they're waiting for bigger fish to fry. My issue is not important, and they're going to put me on the back burner. Or nobody's taking consideration as to what my timeliness is for having this repaired or done.
Yes.
However, you get an entirely different feeling and reaction and response from your customer when you say, "I can have the technician there on Thursday."
Same thing, different tone, different choice of words. I feel
exactly.
much better. You are going to make every effort to get that technician there on Thursday, although I'm speaking to you on Monday. But what I got out of your second statement, you have a sense of urgency. I'm not looking on how many days it is to get there. But I just got that. Oh, Jenny's doing all she can to get the technician there on Thursday. It's just a simple twist. But we have to be cautious.
Very cautious. I'll give you just another example to tell somebody, well, I'll try to get that out to you on, I'll try to get that in the mail today. Well, what exactly does I'll try mean? And how do you feel when you are the customer and a service provider tells you what they're going to try to do? Most generally, we don't know whether it's going to get done or not. There really is no commitment being made on behalf of the service provider to do anything. All you've said is, I'll try, which means you've given yourself permission not to do it, and you leave your customer hanging, not knowing whether you're going to make the time to do it or whether it's going to happen at all. So it's those little things that we can do that will help to foster more positive relationships with our customers. Oftentimes, again, we solicit negative reactions and negative responses from them just by a simple choice of words. And there is a chapter in Beyond Hello that deals with that. It's in chapter one, actually, that deals with attitudes and how it impacts the level of service you provide, using positive words and phrases, positive thoughts versus negative thoughts. You know, sometimes as small business people, we can work with a customer for weeks or months on end and hope that it's going to reach a positive outcome. We're going to close the sale. Well, sometimes we get frustrated, we lose patience, and things like that begin to come through our head, and we start thinking negatively. We start saying things to ourselves like, well, you're really taking up a lot of my time. Or we say something to ourselves like, you want it when? Or we say something to ourselves like, oh, they don't pay me enough to put up with it. Mm. When you start feeding yourself that negative self-talk, you're doing an injustice. You
That's
know,
right.
Society, though, says that it's okay to think negatively. Society says that's the first thing you ought to do. Mm-mm. Jeannie Davis says that you ought to make a greater effort to think positively first.
That's right.
Because
that's
the minute that negative thought enters your mind, what follows it in terms of conversation with your customer is not going to be uplifting. It's not going to be of the character that you want to present because you've got that negative thought in there. So that is just kind of an overview of the chapter one in Beyond Hello. Is that what you wanted to hear?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you so very, very much. I can see that. You know, we'll definitely need to have you back on the show because you have such wealth of information that entrepreneurs can really utilize to turn their businesses around. Because a lot of entrepreneurs that I have spoken with, they just think, oh, customer service is for big corporation and all of that. But I said, no. That's why your business cannot go to the next level because you really do not understand the importance of adding value to the people that you are already serving. And I don't care whether you are selling red velvet cake by the slice that you walk around with. It is going to go beyond the taste of the cake. It is the packaging. It is the way you deliver that when you get to that customer. And you're going to find out that when you utilize these principles that Jenny has in this book, Beyond Hello, you're going to find out that your customers are no longer going to be only needing a slice, but they're going to want a full cake, some two, some three, because of what you're offering beyond the baking. They want to spread it to others. So I want to thank Jenny. I want Jenny to ask you to use the next 10 minutes to just summarize our conversation this morning. what do you want to leave the listeners with? And tell them your contact information, please.
Okay.
And I know we will have you back on here and we'll be able to go into more depth. And we want to encourage people to pick the copy of the book up and read it so that when Jeannie comes back, when Jeannie comes back on the show, you can call in and share with her what you have done from the book and how it is impacting your life. So we want to have you commit to that. So just summarize and then give your contact information, please.
All right. The summary of our conversation today is that it means more than just a simple gesture to really put yourself in the shoes of your customer. Mm-hmm. You really, really want to hear what you're saying through the ears of that customer. You want to make sure that there's no attitude in your voice, that you're speaking in a well-modulated tone. You want to make certain that you are feeling and demonstrating empathy towards that customer. That mm-hmm. is, that you share an understanding of how you can your product or your service can benefit them and how it can make them successful. Mm-hmm. You want to make certain that you are presenting exactly the image of yourself and your organization that you want that customer to have.
Mm-hmm.
And it all is not just to do with how you answer the phone. It mm-hmm. is how you can improve your communication skills. And I'll tell you, this book and my workshops that I present are communications-based. My background is public relations and communications. So mm-hmm. I'm proud to have presented a program and an offering in a book that really helps people to improve their communication ability, not mm-hmm. just on the phone, interpersonally as well, because a lot of our small businesses do have face-to-face interaction with their customers. So in summary of this particular call, we've shared information with you regarding just the first chapter in Beyond Hello. And as Dr. Daphne suggested, it might be very interesting for me to come back on in a few weeks or a few months just to see what you have tried. What did you make an effort to change? Because behavioral change is never a simple thing to do. And Dr. Daphne, if we get enough responses, then perhaps I can use that feedback as a springboard to write another version of Beyond Hello or going further into Beyond Hello or something.
That's something we can talk about, Jeannie, because I am Jeannie. I have the Online Empowerment Institute. So let us have a conversation outside of this, and we can probably set up something in there with the members where we have maybe, not a study group, but we have people who get the book, who is willing to have their stories as part of the book. And we give them a specific time in which to read that and implement some things and see what we can do. I think it's workable. Let's discuss that further.
I think that's a great idea.
And in the meantime,
mm-hmm. they can pick up the book at any bookstore.
They
can order it from my website, which mm-hmm. is www.phone.com. Mm-hmm. phoneskills.com. There is a tab on the website where you can order the books and or the audio CDs,
mm-hmm.
or you can simply go to any bookstore. You can order it off of Amazon.com. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter to me how mm-hmm. you acquire the work. Just get it.
Mm-hmm.
Read it.
Do the exercises
that are in the book so that you can improve your ability to effectively communicate with your customers.
Before you go, Jeannie, there's someone from the chat room says, I worked as a customer service representative for 8 years, and I can relate. So they found whatever you are saying to be beneficial, and I want to ask whether or not they have any questions they want to ask you before you go. And one of the other things is that entrepreneurs oftentimes do not avail themselves to workshops like you offer. And
yes,
they need to understand that this is not only for the big corporations. You know, a lot of times networking groups could consider getting Jeannie Davis to come in and give a workshop on these things so that entrepreneurs understand, you know, whether you're a landscaper or you're a stonework person, it doesn't matter. Your repeat business is going to come from the service that you gave to that first customer. So they didn't answer whether they have a another question. So I am so thankful that we have, thankful to LinkedIn for connecting us, and that I was obedient enough to follow through on the inclination to have you on and to learn more about your work and the commitment that you have given not only to large organizations but to us as entrepreneurs and small business people. I want to thank you.
Always willing to be of service, Dr. Daphne. And if any of your listeners have a question for me, they can feel free to give me a call. I know some people don't like speaking in public, you know. So if there are people that are listening and you have a specific question for me, feel free to give me a call on our toll-free number, which is 1-800-784-5525. It's been a pleasure joining
Dr. Daphne. Jeannie, don't go yet, because our friend out of Ohio has a question. Please go ahead with your question from Ohio.
Hi, Jeannie. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Is this Richard?
Yes, it is. I just really want to tell you congratulations. I mean, you are absolutely wonderful, and I saw on Amazon that your book is number 13 in your industry. So, I mean,
congratulations.
Out of thousands, I mean, that is excellent. I think that what you're doing is great, and I think that customer service is such an important part of any company, like you said, large or small. And if and as a customer myself, I'm often disappointed with the service I receive. So I thank you for what you're doing and helping improve that across the board for everyone.
Okay.
Thank you, Richard. I appreciate your comment.
Right. Thank you so much, Richard. And we know that Richard has ordered his book, and he will be part of reading it and helping us in whatever we decide that you're going to do too about that book. So, I want to thank you again, Jeannie, for being flexible with the technology and what was going on today, and for delivering. I want to thank you again, and I look forward to our continuous professional relationship. I'm here to serve and to add value to whatever vision it is that you want to involve me in.
Well, thank you, Dr. Daphne. It's been my pleasure. Thank you so very much. I'll look forward to it.
Yes, thank you so much, and just have a blessed day. All right, so thank you for all the listeners who were in the chat room and everything. And I want to bring on Miss Andrea. Andrea, thank you for your understanding and sticking around with us.
Oh, my pleasure. It was very interesting.
Yes, it's a powerful lady. You got to grab that book, too, so that you can...
Because of
our number two book, it's called Beyond Hello. So, Andrea, you know I'm having challenge still in pronouncing your last name. So just bear with me. I'm going to ask you to just say your last name for the listeners.
Sure. My last name is Okrentowicz.
Okrentowicz. So I
it's
want
a
to
very
thank you.
Russian last name.
Yes. And Andrea is local to me here in Connecticut, which is a good thing. Most times, my guests for the show, they are from different countries in different time zones and everything. So it's just it's a wonderful experience with the diversity of the platform that is available to me. So let us go into your story, Andrea. Let us just take an opportunity to introduce yourself to the listeners. Tell them who you are and a little bit about your background.
Okay. Well, like you said, I'm in Connecticut, and I have been working from home since 2001. I am the owner of AOK Business Services, which is a copywriting business for online coaches. I do marketing and a whole bunch of things for online coaches. I started freelancing in 2001 once my daughter was born, and that kind of lit a fire under me because I became disabled with rheumatoid arthritis, and I couldn't work. And this is coming from somebody who has had a job since she was 15, and it was very, very upsetting to me that I couldn't get out and get a job and do what I wanted to do. So I started looking outside the box and thinking, what could I do to make some money? And that's when I started freelance writing.
Mm-hmm. And but Andrea, before we go into what you're doing now, I wanted you to just tell the people about a little bit about you as a person, you know.
Oh,
the
okay.
The beginning of your life before you get into career, you know.
Oh, the beginning of my life. It's kind of a crazy life, but, childhood, you know, I had great parents and I had a great life, made some poor choices as a teenager, which is, a very long story that I don't want to bore people with, but, I basically had a rough road from, say, 13 on, and I had to make some very personal decisions on where I wanted to go. Mm-hmm. And, I was in a bad place for a long time until I became pregnant with my first daughter. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like, okay, time to get serious, you mm-hmm. know. And it wasn't easy, but mm-hmm. I made the choice to go down the right path for once.
But what made you, through those challenges on that journey,
mm-hmm.
The wonderful thing I've heard, and I really don't know your story in depth, but as I know from all stories, there are lessons to be learned.
Mm.
And it sounds as if you have learned some valuable lessons life. Made you decide that of all the things in the world to do, I wanted to go become an entrepreneur and to go into freelance work? It took courage. I don't know if you were listening with Jeannie when Jeannie said in the beginning that stepping out as an entrepreneur, you should have the support of your relatives, your friends, and all those mm-hmm. other things. But you spoke of a journey that was kind of troubled and challenging, and yet you decide, I'm going to add one more thing to this. I'm going to become an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Well, you know, at that time, I don't know if I knew that mm-hmm. that's what I was.
Ah.
But, yeah, it was kind of like, okay, I was in this hole, and I was broke, and I was hurting, and here I was just given this illness that I knew nothing about, and all I could think was, oh, my God, how am I going to raise this little girl? Now, of course, I was a single parent, and I was disabled. I could not work, and I was freaking out, and so what I did was kind of did some soul searching, like, what is it that I have that I can make a life out of. And I started thinking, and the one thing I have always loved to do was to write. And, you know, and never really thought about it as a career. I just always thought it was just something fun, something that helped me get my mm-hmm. emotions out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I said, what the heck? I have nothing to lose. And that's when I
you know,
oh, go ahead.
I like what you just said, because I teach a class called In Pursuit of Purpose. And it always amazes me that people who take the class, they always come in there. When I ask about their expectation, every majority of the people are coming to find what their purpose is. And I said, you know, we don't need to find it, because it's not lost. It
That's
has
right.
always been part of us. We just need to connect and utilize it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing that you just affirmed something that I know so well, is that when we operate in our true calling and purpose, it comes easy to us. Because
you know
the one thing in your life, in everything that was going on, your writing was what bring you satisfaction and joy.
It was so simple, and yet I never thought to look there.
Right. You never thought,
you know?
Because I remember one lady said, I never thought that I have a calling and a purpose, because she said, I didn't go to high school and I don't have a college degree.
Yeah.
And that has nothing to do with your calling and purpose, because the day that egg was fertilized, there was a stamp that is placed on us by the Creator saying, oh, this is what Daphne is going to do, and this is what Jeannie is going to do, and this is Richard, and this is Daphne and Andrea. So we all came out with that brand of knowing what it is we're supposed to do. So it's interesting that you are affirming this. So you said you did some soul searching.
That's right.
Does spirituality play any role in what you do?
Yes, I have to say it does, because, you know, at first it started off as just doing what I had to do to make some money, you know, with my writing, you know, just writing articles, doing whatever it took to get some money. But now that I'm at a place in my life where, yes, I still need money, of course everybody does, but I'm at a place where I can say, all right, let's take a look at what's going on, you know, where am I in this journey, you know, how did I get here? And spirituality is a big thing, because now I'm at the point where I'm looking to help others. I'm looking to make a difference in other people's lives through this their own spiritual journey,
mm-hmm.
and through their own soul searching, where they can find their, you know, piece of the pie, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and it is. And I kind of, you know, I'd say about a year or so ago, I just let that whole wall come down that was around me, that work, you know. And I said, okay, you know, I said to my higher power, I said, look, you tell me what it is I need to do. And I've kind of just gone along with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm the messenger that does the work that needs to be done, you know, and I just listen and keep my heart open to see what it is I need to do.
You know, there, as I read through your work on your site and stuff like that, there was one thing that stands out to me, and something I respect very much, is the way that you have created boundaries between your work and your children.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, now you have stipulated right there clearly, when do you do business? And
mm-hmm.
all of that. And it takes discipline to do that, because as Jeannie and I, we were speaking about, you know, majority of entrepreneurs work from home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a challenge to really operate from home, because your family, your pets, everybody don't really respect that. And you have set up boundaries so well. Do you want to give the listeners some insight on how did you get to so dedicatedly create this boundary? How did you do it?
Well,
and
I have
you
to
can kind of tell them what the boundary is and how you do that.
Sure. Well, you know, I have to thank my 10-year-old. She has been, like I said, when she was born is when I started this little adventure, and I learned the hard way that you just, you know, as a home-based entrepreneur, it's all too easy to just sit in front of the computer and work all day, you know, and my little girl would basically got tired of it and was like, Mom, you know, when are we going to do something? When are we going to have some fun? You know, and I that really stuck with me. You know, I'm like, what am I doing here? I'm working for my family, but what good is it if my family and I can't enjoy time together? You know?
Right.
And so, you know, it was definitely tougher when the kids were home from school, and it's still a challenge during those vacation times. But I think that it's very important for when you're about to be in business at home that you say to yourself, all right, what are my hours? When do I want to be available? And the most important thing is to keep that communication open, especially with your children. Because now, I mean, I always have clients saying, your daughters are so good about you working at home. And it's because they've been very involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk to them a lot about it, and I say, you know, if I have a big project, and, you know, I try not to work on the weekends,
mm-hmm.
but every once in a while, you know, there is that one project that has to get done, and I sit there and I say, okay, girls, well, you know, this weekend I do have to do a little work. Maybe, you know, if you let mommy's going to take a couple hours to do this project, and then after we'll go to the park,
mm-hmm.
and it's that easy, you know, just keeping it very, you know, keeping the communication open,
mm-hmm.
is important.
Yeah, I like what you mentioned about including the children in the conversation. I had an experience a couple weeks back. I was speaking with a young lady. She's now, I think she's going to be 12, what's she going to be, 10 or something. So I've watched her grown. And they are part of the church where I worship. And they had switched churches, and then now they're back. And I had a conversation with the young woman about getting involved in something. And she said, no, she didn't want to. And then I asked her why, and she said this was not her church. So I said, interesting. And I asked her, where was her church? And she mentioned the church they had switched to. And I immediately look at her mom. And I said to her, did you have a conversation with her about coming back? Because a lot of times as adults and as parents, we do things and don't consider the impact on our children.
Mm-hmm.
But if we would include them in the conversation, it would not be a challenge.
Exactly.
And, you know, the mom said, well, not in detail, but you have to understand that here you have a child who is extremely intelligent. You have to let her have a say in that.
I agree.
You know, so it's very important. And thank you for, you know, just sharing that. So now you not only work as an entrepreneur, you are also the founder of an organization.
Mm-hmm.
That is helping other single parents. Let's talk about that organization. And what brought that on?
Well, it is still in its infancy, so let me put it there. But it is called the Single Parents Wealth Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been something that I think has been brewing inside me for a long time. And I finally, you know, got to the point where I said, okay, I need to do this. Because it's been nagging at me. And basically what I'm doing is I am building a project online that is for single parents, moms and dads, to come and learn about online business and how they can grow their income, their personal development through online business.
Mm-hmm.
A part of me, you know, the biggest thing is I feel so terrible when I hear these parents saying, you know, I tried doing this work from home thing and it was a scam. And, you know, I mean, that drives me crazy to hear that. I feel terrible because I've been there, you know, many years ago. I was there too. And so my goal is to create a place for single parents to come to learn how they can start their own business by taking a good look at what's inside them and what they can provide to the world, what they can share. Because I found, you know, through all the crazy things that I've done through online work years ago, I realized that all I had to do was focus on what it is that I have to give the world.
Exactly. You know, what, the thing is that why so many people are being taken for everything they have is that everybody's looking for a microwave result. So instead of looking to see what I have value, I have talents, I've learned some skills. How can I convert that into a business? Everybody's watching late night television and everybody wants to become a multimillionaire in 3 hours.
I know.
And people have to understand that it doesn't work like that. So,
right. But to their defense, though, I mean, let's face it, when I was in my worst, you know, I was so desperate to have some form of financial, you know, abundance of some kind that I would fall into those traps of become a millionaire in 3 hours, you know, because you're just so desperate to survive.
Right.
And that's what I'm trying to help single parents avoid, is that trap, because I've been there. I've had to live off Social Security checks. I've, you know, had to live in public housing and, you know, wake up in the morning and not know how I'm going to take care of my kids. You know, if God forbid one of them got sick, you know, how would I buy them the medicine that they needed? So I've been there, and now it's my turn to help other single parents you know, establish themselves so they don't have to wake up every day and think like that.
Yeah, and it's a good thing to create a network where people can learn and educate themselves about how to proceed when it comes to all these different ventures. And I don't want you to think that I'm beating up on people and, you know, and feel compelled that you have to come to their defense. What I'm saying is to be educated consumers.
You can
look at what's coming over that TV and you can say that, oh, that person has harnessed what their talent is and now they are putting it in a business. Now what do I have? We don't necessarily have to go out there and spend.
Exactly.
And get what theirs, but there's something that I possess. You grab onto your writing and you utilize that and you convert it into a business and you were creative in saying, here are things that I can do that will put me as an expert in such an area where I now have something to sell to somebody else. So
exactly.
I'm glad that you have committed to giving back to the community, and that's a big thing, because single parents a lot of time do not have the support that they are needed to do what they want to do. So go ahead.
Oh, well, I was going to say, and that's why, you know, right now it's I'm filling the area, the group, with lots of resources, but I'm also providing some personal coaching and stuff for free. This is, you know, there is there's going to be the ability for, you know, when they are ready, if they want to start doing some programs and stuff. But at its basic level, you know, I am willing to, you know, sit down with any of the members and we can hash out what it is that they want to do. Because I know sometimes it's not as easy as just saying, okay, I want to be a writer, you know, or I want to be, you know, a marketer, whatever they want to do. It's sometimes it takes a little digging to figure out what it is that we are here for. So I just
want to put it. As Jeannie, I have another friend called Jenny, and I keep calling her that. As Jeannie also mentioned in her segment, is that there are resources in our community. So in addition to what you are giving them, There are also local things that they can go into to help them to figure out what it is that they want to do. So now,
right.
Is that organization open to only people in Connecticut or anybody
can? Oh, no.
No,
it's online, so anybody can go.
How does people get information about that and how to become a member? How do they do that? You want to point them to a place to go?
Sure. Well, right now, the URL to get there is www.spwa.igroups, and that's igroups.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, now, so let's go back. We've been going back and forth, and I want to speak with you a little bit about, as a single parent entrepreneur, what are some of the struggles or challenges that you encounter day to day, and what have you been doing to really rise above all those challenges?
Well, I try to focus not on challenges, as opportunities, as learning experiences, really, because I have to say, as single parents, there is that time commitment that's, mm-hmm. that can be, it could be seen as a challenge. And like I said earlier, what is important is keeping that communication open. But I'd have to say, you know, it is difficult budgeting, to be
mm-hmm.
honest. Budgeting mm-hmm. is so important, because when you're working and, you know, the greatest feeling is actually bringing that money in and mm-hmm. being able to say, I did this, you know, I created this and I'm so happy. And then to be able to reward yourself and your family by taking them out on a special night, you know, taking them to the circus, doing whatever. And then sometimes it can get a little crazy. Sometimes mm-hmm. you can, you know, lose your head a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's really important to stay grounded, you know,
mm-hmm.
stay. Once you start bringing in that money, once you start really owning that business and having clients, it's so important to have systems in place of what you're going to do with everything that you create, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I also found that, you know, everything we do, even if it's in our family life or our business life, is a great lesson for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, like I had no idea that people would actually want to know about my time management, let's say. You know, a year ago, I never would have imagined that anybody would care how I, you know, manage to work and have kids and that. And yet I find a lot of people, that's like their number one question. How do you do that?
Exactly. So,
yeah.
You know, you just affirmed that every experience we have as an entrepreneur eventually becomes a product.
Yes.
Because here you are thinking, nobody's going to care about what I do and all of that. And people say, well, how do you do it? So we can always share what we are doing, and that will benefit someone else. I want to check in here, because I'm not sure whether I had these hands all raised prior to our conversation or if they have questions. So I'm going to check in with these two callers. If you do not have any questions, you don't have to answer me when I ask you. So, Ohio, do you have a question?
Hi. You know what? I had a question had come up, but I forgot what it was. So
I apologize, because I didn't take your hand off the raise the last time, and I did not realize. So whenever you have it, just say something, and I'll acknowledge you. I apologize.
Okay, thank you.
Do you have a question? 303.
No, I don't, Dr. Daphne. This is Jeannie, and I stuck around so that I could hear what Andrea had to say.
Okay, all right.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, I'm just enjoying learning more about your story and sharing your enthusiasm. So thank you for being
well,
you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much. And I want to remind the callers that you can call 646-915-8166 if you have a remark or a comment for my guest, Andrea. Yes. So tell us a little bit, Andrea, about how you secure your clients. I mean, I spoke with you, and you have clients all over the place.
Yes,
so for those entrepreneurs who are listening and say, oh man, I can't even get the first person, how do you secure your clients?
Okay, I'll tell you my secret.
Get ready, everybody. Get worried.
Well, you know, everybody, it makes me laugh because you go to some of these, you know, forums and they have all these hush-hush secrets about how to get clients. And you know what I've found? Word of mouth is the best way to get yourself out there. And I'll tell you why. I started with a business coach a couple of years ago. And she was also a friend. And she just, you know, got me really focused. And I did a lot of work with her. And all of a sudden, I started getting calls from people I had no idea who they were. And they said, oh, you know, I heard that, yes, so-and-so said that you do really great work. You do, you know, you make great programs. And I'm like, oh, yeah, would you like me to show you a sample of what I could do? And next thing you know, so-and-so tells so-and-so. And at one point, I had more clients than I could manage. I had to start outsourcing because it got so crazy. So that is really, I mean, of course, there's other components, you know, the marketing, the social marketing and whatnot. But getting, you know, when you get that first client and you make that impression and you give more than you're expected of, you know, that's going to make a really, it's kind of like what Jeannie said, you know, Jeannie said you have to.
I was going to say, because what you just mentioned goes back to the excellent customer service,
mm-hmm.
because word of mouth is only going to work for people who have excellent, superb customer service.
That's right.
Or else it's going to be, they're going to be saying, but they're not going to be saying the right thing that you want
right.
them to say.
And of course, if, I mean, everybody has those, you know, the one client that is really difficult and, you know, is a bad experience. Well, you know what? If you see, because these days on the internet, people post about everything. And if they have a bad customer service experience, they're going to tell the world. And, you know, I've heard horror stories from some of my colleagues of things like this that have happened. And it's so important that you make the effort to make it right, you know, even if it means, you know, sending an apology letter or doing, you know, giving them, I don't know, a discount on something. Something to make the effort to say, look, you know, I'm really sorry things didn't work out. Just kind of being the bigger person to say, I'm sorry, you know. And that also brings me to another point is when people start working, you know, especially online, it's so important since you're not meeting these people. Most of my clients I've never actually met in person. It's really important to keep your reputation clean online and that when you're talking to clients, I know there's that urge to say take any client that you can get, but you really do want to make sure that that client is a good fit for you because if you're going to be butting heads, it's going to end badly. So you really want to make sure that the clients that you are connecting with are people that are a good fit for you and that you're a good fit for them.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there is something I want to piggyback on. You mentioned about that one customer who might be a negative one or whatever term you had used. But, you know, as you say that, it immediately came to my mind for us to do some self-reflection when we encountered that one customer.
Mm.
Is to go into a self-assessment, ask some probing questions of yourself. What did I do to get this result in this person?
Yes.
Because the same way you did something good that you're satisfied with, you did something, whether you realize it or not, to trigger that result in that person. And,
right.
Yeah, before we can make it up with someone, I think we need to come to that stage where we own whatever happened, so that when we go, we're not just offering them something, but we can say, here is where I fell short.
Exactly.
And I can promise and commit that this will never happen again.
Right. Exactly.
You know,
and I mean, I don't want to say that the reason I say, you know, make sure that the client is a good fit, too, is sometimes it is out of our hands. As a creative person, you know, my writing may not be a good fit for other people. And, you know, I take my writing personally, and you know, if someone says, oh, this isn't any good, then I'm like, oh, my gosh, what did I do? You know, but it's true.
It's
my writing may not be
good
for everybody.
It's not good at that moment for that person.
Exactly.
So, and it goes back. I keep reflecting on Jeannie's conversation. It's the way you frame your statement.
Yes.
You know, instead of saying it's no good, that person could have said, this is not what I'm looking for now.
Right.
You would not take offense. You would simply file that away for another time.
Right.
But the minute somebody said, this is no good, you immediately take it to mean my writing is no good. I want to check in with Richard to see if he recall his question. Richard, have you recalled what your question is?
No, you know what? For next time I tune in, I'm going to have a pencil and paper so I can write this down. Because as the conversation is going, I keep thinking of stuff, and then I go into so many different kinds of thought that I end up getting it all confused. But just now what you were saying, when Jeannie said, I can't have that done till Thursday, versus I can have it for you on Thursday. I mean, it's amazing what difference it makes.
Exactly. And it's go back because, you know, we're dealing with people and people are sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be very careful because a lot of times there can be an underlying issue that someone has been holding on to for 20, 30 years. And just that one word that you use incorrectly can trigger that result of 30 years. So when we are dealing with people, we need to be very, very, very cautious. So thank you for that feedback. You know, I'm so pleased how, you know, Jeannie's on my conversation this morning, we can just keep bouncing back and forth. And for people can really see that how this whole thing of customer service ties into even what Andrea is saying, you know. So it is just so amazing. So let's continue, Andrea. You were talking about the organization, and you told people how they can become part of it. It's
mm-hmm.
open. So long as you have a computer, you can get online.
Yes. Oh,
you
yes.
don't need to be local for them.
Not at all. Because I have found, yeah, thank God for the internet, let's say, because that was my freedom. You know, that was, as somebody who was housebound, in bed, could not move. For the first year after I was diagnosed, it's called Still's disease, what I have, but it's a rheumatic illness. I was not able to get out of bed for a year. Mm-hmm. So for me to work was impossible in you know, the normal term, going to work. Mm-hmm. But because of the internet, I had that, you know, that ability, and that's why that's why I really want to foster that idea among single parents that, yes, you can work and you can improve your life. You know, we need to do, we need to get online. We need to start working towards that, because then...
But, you know, Andrea, over the years that I've worked with entrepreneurs and everything like that, I think that once people hear the word work, W-O-R-K,
mm-hmm.
they think I have to go outside,
yep.
I got to get in my car, or I have to walk to the bus stop, I got to physically go somewhere, and I must clock in.
And
if
it's
it is
so
not
true.
Tedious to do, and that, they don't think that, you know, that means. So I'm so thankful that you have shed some light onto that this morning, and although you are still probably still carrying the label of disability, it has not disabled your creativity.
Not at all. Not at all. And, you know, these days with jobs as low as they are, you know, there's so many people unemployed right now. It's like, I just want to say, guys, there is work. You got to open that computer, that laptop, that,
yes.
you know, and there's work out there.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
So, and I think
you are now being categorized not as an employee, but as an entrepreneur or an expert. So,
exactly.
And you have to find what it is. We all have something that can benefit others. What is that something? You know, it is our experiences, it is our stories, because all of us, our stories can help others to craft their own stories,
mm-hmm.
and then to convert it into a business. So
that's
look
right.
into what it is. We all have a vast collection of talents and skills and expertise that we can use to keep a roof over our heads and food on our tables, and
that's
to
right.
give our families the vacation that they so need. But before we go off, because I wonder, where does time go when you're having fun and good conversation? Tell me about the two young women in your life. How do they feel about the new mommy that they have, balancing their upbringing with entrepreneurship? What have they been saying?
Well, I'll tell you, my for the first time ever, a couple weeks ago, I was able to bring my girls to the American Girl doll store in New York, and this is something they've wanted to do for as long as I can remember, and I was finally able to do that for them, and it was the greatest feeling in the world. And, you know, it's like, entrepreneurship did this for us. You know, we were able to have this great family moment, and I finally got, and it was my 10-year-old's birthday, so it was like the best birthday present she could ever ask for. And so they are very supportive, because over, I'd say, the last couple of years, we have been able to do so many more things together. You know, now my daughter's able to take flute lessons, and, you know, they're able to take dance lessons and acting courses, all these things
Beautiful.
They've always wanted to do. So they're very supportive.
And you are there to enjoy it as they create their journey.
That's
and
right.
It is such a wonderful thing. I am so thankful that you came on this morning to share your experience. And I want to give you 3 minutes to just... give some closing remarks or statement that you want to leave. And I'm going to choose the category of single parent, whether you're a daddy or a mommy. I want you to leave them with some food for thought that you want them to remember this conversation with?
Well, I would like them to remember that no matter what walk of life they're from, no matter where they're from, that there is something inside them that is calling them to a purpose, and that regardless of their status in life, that they can make a future for themselves and find financial stability. It's just finding what's inside them. It's looking at their purpose and where they can go in life. And don't let anybody tell you that, you know, you don't have the resources to do it or you don't have the education to do it, because it is possible. And it's important to find a support network, you know, and I am always available to just hash it out, talk about it, you know, let's see where we can go.
Andrea, I think you're probably on a cell phone. There was a lot of disturbance. I didn't hear. I'm just hoping that the radio technology has gotten it. That's the one of the issues when you call in on a cell phone. It creates some disturbances. However, do you have anything else you want to say? I didn't hear what you said in the beginning. Are you still there?
I'm here. That's strange. Yeah, it's a cordless phone, so maybe that's why.
I think you're calling from a cell phone, so there's a lot of disturbance in the last part of what you were saying. So I want to go ahead. Give your contact information out, please, Andrea.
Sure. It's Andrea, A-N-D-R-E-A, at aokbusinessservices.com. And my phone number is 860-417-2539.
Okay. I want to thank Jeannie Davis for coming on from Denver, Colorado. I want to thank Andrea Okwenjerik.
Very close.
Very close. I promise you I'll get it right. Just give me a time limit. for coming on and for sharing, and also for Richard for sticking out with us during this conversation. I want to encourage each and every one of you to check out the Online Empowerment Institute. See whether or not you see it as being able to add value to you and to your work that you do. Become a member. I encourage you. I know Andrea is a member already. And I'm just so thankful for our conversation this morning. Again, I thank Jeannie for her expertise. And I want everybody to mark this show favorite so you can be kept informed of who my guests will be each time that I have a show. I thank you for adding value to my listeners and help me to get the word out about what we need to do to really harness our talents that are our God-given creativity and rights. Again, I thank you. I want to encourage everyone to realize that you have a destiny. Do not allow anyone to get you off the journey that you're on. Stay blessed.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through.
will you let me look in your heart?
Breaking of day, it's destiny.